You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
What does Colgate mean by live life to the brightest? Could it be a rich glass of red sipped inside a Parisian cafe on a snowy night when my gaze is met by a tall, mysterious... I mean, brushing is directed with Colgate Optic White Pro Series Toothpaste gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 3 days, so you can live life to the brightest and finish that glass without worrying about teeth stains. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Zurich-based Timothy Yaromir is our guest on this edition of Americana Music Profiles. Timothy has English and Czech roots, and his wife is from Canada, where his last two records were recorded. For his latest 8-song project, he decided to bring it home to Switzerland and record it there. Timothy joins us now to talk about his musical journey and his latest project. Hi, Timothy. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Greg.
Good to talk to you today. So it's always fun when we get to do these intercontinental conversations. I am speaking with you at the moment. I am in the United States in Virginia. You're in Zurich, correct?
I'm in Zurich, Switzerland. That's right. Yeah. A long way away.
Yeah, that is so cool, though. It's always neat. I've probably said this on 6 of the last 10 podcasts, but it's always neat to get to be able to do this in real time. And
yeah,
in today's world, it's a positive when there's so many other things going on that aren't so positive. It's fun to be able to get cross country and have this conversation. So.
Absolutely. I actually had a trip planned to, I wanted to go to Nashville this year, but I had to cancel it. So due to the complications, traveling complications.
Sure. When we were getting ready for the call, I commented, you didn't sound like you had a Switzerland accent, and you were telling me that you've got some different influences in your background.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
And you did you grow up in Switzerland? I know in the press notes it said that you had some English and Czech
yes,
in your roots.
That's correct. Yeah. In fact, my mother's English, and I spent quite some time in England when I was small. We used to travel there a lot, like in the holidays and over Christmas. So I used to go to England maybe 2-3 times a year. And my father's from Czechoslovakia, and I didn't really go to get there until the borders opened again.
Hmm.
So yeah, that was in the 80s, I think. Okay. So I got there first time, and I've been there I think twice since then, so I haven't been there very much, and I don't speak Czech, but yeah.
Okay. And I think you were telling me your wife is actually from Canada.
That's correct. Yeah, she's from the West Coast. She's over from Vancouver.
Okay.
And we spent a bunch of time there too. So
now, have you been able to travel during the restrictions back and forth between Switzerland and Canada?
No, actually, that was a bit sad, because we had this scheduled for this year, and We were going to go for 6 weeks in September. And yeah, you know, we have a lot of connections there. So it was a bit sad that we had to cancel those.
Yeah, that's too bad.
We're not alone in it. So.
Yeah, right. So yeah. When did music become a part of your life? What was your exposure to that?
Well, music became part of my life quite early, really. It's mostly through my father. He went in Czech, when he was living in Czechoslovakia in his teens, or 20s, I would say. He was a singer in a soul band, so they used to sing soul music.
Mm,
okay. In the U.S., like Otis Redding, Wilson Pickett, they used to sing those songs in Czech.
Yeah.
Wow. Record them on records.
Really? Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
One of the bands that was is quite famous from back in the day is called Flamingo. The Flamingos, I think,
are Flamingo. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, I recall that name. Yeah.
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 It's funny. It's quite well known. And, well, when he was, you know, when I was smaller and he would come back home from work and I would come from school or whatever, he always used to play music in the evening. So he used to just, you know, sit down with a guitar, play some songs, or he was learning an instrument. He learned the trumpet and he was singing. So we often played music together. That was really how it,
cool.
How it started being, yeah.
Yeah. When did it become something that you decided to pursue more on a professional level?
That was actually later, because actually it was my sister who started. My sister's also, she can play the piano and she sings. And she was writing some songs, and that really fascinated me, because so far I was just kind of learning jazz standards and things like that.
Okay.
And cover songs. But my sister actually wrote her own songs, and I thought that was really inspiring.
Uh-huh. That's cool.
And so I was like, what I really want to do one day is just record a whole album with my song. That was like my goal.
Okay. Wow. That's awesome. And so how long did it take you from that inspiration to be able to record your first album?
It still took me quite a while, actually. I started recording my album, I think about maybe it was 4 or 5 years later, I started recording my debut album.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I mean, it was fun writing songs, but I had a whole lot of songs, but I didn't feel like there were really songs I wanted to, you know, record professionally.
Right. Yeah.
It took me a while until I had them in a pile and felt comfortable about that. Good.
Were you able to pursue music as a full-time thing? Did you have a day job type thing that you would do and then music on the side? How did that play out for you?
Yeah, no, I also always had a day job, really, something I always liked doing. I work as a caretaker in an institution for physically handicapped people.
Ah, okay.
And I also do a lot of music there. I mean, I've been doing a choir there for a long time.
Oh,
and I
neat.
Do
okay.
Music therapy. So I was able to combine both, and they're usually very grateful for the musical inputs other people bring.
Yeah, yeah. Are those folks long-term care? Are there people that are residents there that you get to work with?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. There's people that work there and live there. And some people are, you know, they're quite independent. They go home, in the evening they live on their own or with some other people, but there's a whole group of people that live there permanently. So
okay,
that's right.
That's a neat thing to be able to. Music is that universal language, and so it's neat to be able to share that with people in need, and especially in a time like this where they need to be encouraged, need something positive in their life.
Absolutely, and they're very honest. You know, it's like sometimes I also play. They like my songs. They listen to my CDs, but they're sometimes I get to play, you know, I play them one of my new songs, and they're very honest about it. They're like,
yeah,
I know it's right away if they like it or not, you know.
That's cool. Yeah, yeah, that's cool. So you we got to record your debut record. I think I read where you, of course, you've got a new one out, and this is your third. Is that right?
It's really my fourth. I started off with a debut album that had 10 songs, I think, and then followed up with two EPs that I recorded in Canada. Album again, so it's the fourth, actually.
And tell us the title. You've got an interesting word there for the title of this CD.
Yeah, it's you pronounce it Hirite.
Hirite, okay.
Hirite, and it's a Welsh word. It's hard to translate. I read quite a lot about it. It's an inspiring word. It's kind of it describes a feeling of missing something, of having lost something. You can't really define though what it is exactly, and it's like something you want to find again, but it's quite hard to define what it is. It could be a feeling, yeah, or a place.
How does that tie into the songs that you put on this new album?
Yeah, I have one of the title song of my album, Hirite, I think it's track. It's track 7.
Uh-huh.
It's about my father who came to Switzerland in 1968 from Czechoslovakia.
Okay.
And he didn't, you know, we didn't talk very much about how it was for him. And but from the few things I know, I made up the song. He said he likes it a lot. So
yeah, that's cool.
It's just his journey coming here from Czechoslovakia to a new country and finding roots here again. And I think it's kind of this is a subject that is in quite a few of the songs. So
yeah,
that's also why I chose the title.
When you started putting this album together, the collection of songs, I'm presuming they're all original. Were they songs that you had collected over time, or did you set down to write this album specifically kind of based on this theme that you had uncovered?
Yeah, I did have this theme in mind when I was writing these songs, and some songs I decided not to record, and some songs I decided to take in and record. But this has been in the back of my mind during the whole process, and they're all original songs except track number 6 is a Jackson Browne cover. It's Running on Empty that I recorded.
Oh yeah, right, love that song. Cool. Yeah, that's cool.
First time I ever recorded a cover, that it was something I didn't really want to do, but this time I decided, yeah, it's a good time to do that.
Yeah, well, just based on the title of the song, it fits within the description of the theme that you shared. So
exactly.
I'm assuming you meant to do that. It certainly sounds like it fits.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. It kind of felt really good. It was fit right into the subject.
What were your musical influences growing up and then formulating the sound that is yours now?
Yeah, that's an important question. I've always listened to quite a variety of music, really. But like I said at the beginning, my dad, he used to play a lot of blues music and soul music.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really not very apparent in my songs, I think. You know, I'm definitely not a soul musician. There's some blues influences, but it was the songwriters were much more important. And my parents listened to a whole lot more songwriters, so of course Dylan, but also people like Leonard Cohen and Jackson Browne, all these people. That was a stronger influence for me. And later on, Nick Drake, of course, I discovered him a little bit later. But yeah.
Did you have a lot of, or how heavy was the American music influence, or availability for you growing up?
Yeah, that was quite strong, really, because I don't know why, but my parents had a lot of those records around the house. And when I was 12, my mom took me over to the U.S. and we visited some people around San Francisco. So we were there for a time, and it was really always really fascinating for me, mm-hmm. just the experience of this. These places where, you know, there's much more space and a different lifestyle. It was quite fascinating for me, and I always felt really drawn towards the whole, American music, Americana music, Johnny Cash, all those. Uh-huh. You know, this always been really important to me.
Yeah, I can definitely hear subtle tones of that kind of 70s folk style bleeding through. And some of the songs that I listen to from your new record. So it's there for sure. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So the new record was released, I think I've got this right, the 1st of November?
6th of November,
First part is what I meant to say, yeah.
And
that, what kind of feedback have you gotten? Was it a worldwide distribution?
It was a worldwide distribution. Yeah, it was. What kind of feedback? Well, yeah, we concentrated for the promotion. We concentrated mostly on Germany and Switzerland. But I have also been, you know, in contact with some people in the UK and the States.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, I mean, in Americana UK, they premiered my video for River on the Rise.
That's awesome.
And I've had some people also, writing it, doing write-ups in Germany and Switzerland. I think things are, and I've had radio play with some songs, which is nice here. And in general, I think things are a little bit slower than usual. You know, I just also feel, I got a lot of feedback, some places we're sorry we can't cover anything at all because we don't have enough people working at the moment due to Corona. Or we had to close our magazine.
That's an unfortunate. I've heard that too a lot. What does it look like for you when you can finally get the chance to take this out and play out? What kind of touring do you typically do? Would you like to be able to do solo with a band? How does all of that look for you in the future?
Yeah, well, I had a CD release planned at the middle of November, and it was going to be with a full band. And I've kind of had the same band here in Switzerland for the last years, but this for the release show, I would have had a totally new band actually.
Mm. Okay.
And I would have been playing with a trombone player, which is he's quite a well-known musician here in Switzerland, Michael Flury. And I would have had the producer, Giuliano Sulzberger, who produced the record. He would have played bass and guitar. And then I have a drummer. So we would have been four people touring Switzerland to present the music. But then for other countries, such as like Canada or... which was also planned, or Germany.
Okay, cool.
I would have been traveling as a duo with my wife or solos.
Okay, so she plays as well then?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we actually have a duo together, or an Americana duo too, called Goldshot. We released a record last year, so yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Did she help you write some of these songs, or do you guys write together?
Yeah, for our duo project, we've been writing together, and on the new record, she is singing on track number one and track five, Afterglow and Rabbit Hole. She's singing on those tracks, and she recorded my vocals, actually, for this album, too. So.
Okay, yeah.
We all do some things together. Yeah,
that's awesome. So share the name with us again. I don't want to get that wrong of the record.
Yeah, Hear Right.
Okay.
Hear Right.
And if folks want to listen to that, they want to reach out and listen to your other music. If they For the international audience, if they're in Zurich or in and around that space, if they want to come see you possibly soon when we can do that, how's the best way? Social media, what's the best way to get in touch?
Yeah, I think social media is a good way. I'm pretty active on Instagram at the moment. I'm active on Facebook. I also have, of course, a website that I keep updated, you know, with the latest news and videos and music on there. And sometimes I write a personal blog. I haven't been doing that really.
Tell us what the website is.
Sorry?
Tell us what the website is.
Yes, it's www.timothyjaromir.com.
And spell that so that we can make sure we get it correct.
Yes, so it's Timothy, T-I-M-O-T-H-Y, and Jaromir is J-A-R-O-M-I-R, timothyjaromir.com.
Good. Well, thank
you. It's a complicated name, but it's if you Google it, it's really the only name you can find that sounds similar. So that's
the nice thing about having a name that's unique. If you get close, it seems Google has this sense of trying to guess what you're looking for, and lots of times it gets close.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Good. Well, thank you, Timothy. This has been cool talking to you in Zurich and learning about your music and a little bit about the culture there. And we certainly wish you well with this, and we'd love for you to come share it with us here in the U.S.
Oh, that would be really, really awesome. I'd love to do that. Thank you so much for the nice talk.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.